this Sunday. We hit the fifth Sunday of Lent, and it begins another kind of segment in Lent, that these last 2 weeks of Lent, the fifth week and then Holy Week together, are known as Passiontide. And part of that shift, as the Lord, as the church gets us ready to celebrate the Lord's Passion, is our readings are going to draw more and more before us the hatred of the religious leaders toward Jesus and the crowds that push back against him, that ultimately will ask for his death. And so already we're having that begin to open up in the readings for us today. And so John, in this passage today, he lets us know that when you drop Jesus into a whole crowd of people, and he's just doing what he's always been doing the whole of his public ministry, as he's teaching and he's preaching and he's healing, not everyone believes in him. So John makes it clear to us today that some believe and some don't. And he just says very clearly, a division occurred in the crowd because of him, because of Jesus. And we know this. The Gospels are filled with this. Jesus tells us elsewhere in the Gospels really clearly that when he's introduced into a family, he says in that family, three are going to be set against two, two set against three. And in that division that happens, like an obvious question we can ask is, well, why, Lord, why does that have to happen? Why don't you just make everybody believe in you? Wouldn't that be a lot easier? And the answer to that question is that because, you know, what the Lord is aiming for is not just like some kind of academic belief in him. He's not aiming for just some kind of intellectual belief that he exists. Remember, what this is all about is a relationship of love with him. And so he's not going to force himself on us. It's just not the way that he's going to do it. He's not going to make it so that we have to love him. Because, you know, our belief in God and our love for him, those are meant to be completely intertwined. They really are kind of really one act. You know, faith in the biblical sense is not just the mind given over to God, but most especially it's the heart given over to him in love. So he's not going to force himself on us. So in a certain sense, this division shouldn't surprise us, because the Lord is never going to override our free will and just make us have to love him and have to believe in him. And this division also, it makes sense to us, because we know that when the Lord comes to us now, he's coming to us in the midst of all of the wounds that we bear from original sin. And so not only are we left free to make a choice as to how we're going to respond to the Lord, but he comes into a situation in our own lives and in our world where we are wounded by the effects of original sin. And so it's not neutral. He comes into an environment where there is an enemy who wants to push back against our coming to believe in the Lord. And our own hearts are wounded in a way that like Father Michael mentioned yesterday in his homily, just the good example of the Lord Jesus, for some really odd reason that's absolutely connected to original sin, we see him in his goodness and we're like, ah, I don't like that. We push back against it. Like, there's a part of us, if we're honest, that just doesn't like the good example of one who really has come to love the way that we're called to love. So for those two reasons, that we have to be free to love, but we're wounded by original sin, for both of those reasons, this division, sadly, because of the sins, it makes sense. But in a good way, it makes sense, because he wants us to choose to love him. So two practical things that flow out from that. One is, we've got to remember in our own relationship with the Lord, to believe in him, it's going to be a battle. And everything that's connected to and flows out of our believing in him, like prayer, like just doing the good in everyday life, these things are going to be a battle. So I know there are some of you who, with the situation we're in right now, you're not commuting to work anymore. You're working remotely. And for some of you, that means that you're now freed up from what could be, in some cases, like a 2-hour commute back and forth to DC every day, or an hour and a half commute back and forth north of Baltimore. And that time has just been dropped in your lap now. And maybe you've been thinking, well, I've got time. Of course, prayer is just going to be that much easier because I've got more time. But it doesn't work that way. Just because you have the time doesn't mean that the prayer is going to automatically come easier. So it's just good for us to know that. There's a battle here. So even though we have more time on our hands in a certain sense, that doesn't make prayer automatically easier. We've got to choose it. We've got to be willing to enter into that battle and say, Lord, I want this and I'm going to go after it. But I just want to remind you that simply having the time on your hands does not automatically mean that prayer is going to happen. Our woundedness and our weaknesses because of sin, it's still easier to do the easy thing, like sit down and scroll through our device. So don't be afraid to engage in the battle for prayer. And just know the battle's going to be there. And don't get discouraged because it doesn't come easily. It's not going to come easily. And so we need to know that battle's there. The other application from all of this, though, is in regard to our families that we're with in a much kind of closer way now. Just as the Lord does not force himself on you and beat you over the head so that you have got to believe in him, in the same way that he doesn't do that to you, you cannot do that to your spouse or to your kids or to other people that are close in your life. You can't do that. They've got to remain free. And so as much as you want a spouse or your kids to be here praying through this Mass with you right now, you can't force them to do that. It's not going to work that way. If the Lord doesn't do it to us, we can't do that to others. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just passive in all of this. When you look at the gospel today, we need to imitate some of the people here who are simply trying to bear witness out of their own experience to the Lord. So some in the crowd who heard Jesus say, "This is truly the prophet. This is the Christ." They're not beating people over the head to make them believe that. They're simply witnessing to what they've come to know. Because of what we've heard in Jesus, this is what I believe. He is the prophet. He is the Christ. We hear later that the guards who go back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, they say, when the Pharisees ask him, "Why didn't you arrest Jesus and bring him here?" they say, "Well, never before has anyone spoken like this man." They're bearing witness to him. And then Nicodemus, at the end of the passage, when the Pharisees are giving him a hard time, he just says very simply, "Look, hear him out. I'm not going to force you to do it, but just hear him out. Find out what he's doing. Just be open to it." So this is a good way that we can do our part to maybe open the door to help others believe, even though we know that we can't force it on them, just to bear witness to what we've come to know of the Lord, what we've experienced of him in our own life. And that's a very different thing than trying to manipulate a situation so that people have got to believe in him. That's not going to work. Just as the Pharisees could not shut down belief in him because we remain free, in a similar way, we're not going to be able to so manipulate a situation, so it's just going to have to require a spouse or our kids to just have to do it. Everyone remains free. So today, let's pray, just as we hear this gospel today, for that grace. Lord, let me be willing to engage the battle in believing in you and praying and living out the life that you offer me. But at the same time, help me to remember that I can't force this on other people, but I can bear witness to you. So Lord, help me to bear witness to you today in a way that encourages and kind of entices others to come to believe in you based on the witness and the good example that I set with my own life.